This morning, we turn to Luke's gospel again. It has been our gospel for this year, to the 14th chapter, as we read the 25th through the 33rd verses. Hear this word today. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, Labor Day has come and gone. No more wearing white again until Easter. That's the rule, right? We've had a great summer this year journeying with Jesus. He's been some very interesting places. He's been to Scotland. He's been down to the beach. He's been on mission with Salkahatchee Summer Service. He traveled with older adults to Lake Junaluska, North Carolina. He went to a Pelicans baseball game. He's been to Alaska and so many more places. Flat Jesus has definitely made the rounds with us this summer. Our gospel text this morning begins by telling us that large crowds were traveling with Jesus. They made a choice to travel with Jesus. But have they yet made the choice of whether or not to follow Jesus? That's a little bit different. When we travel with someone, we're still, at least to some degree, in control, right? We can decide, I know y'all are going to do this today, but I'm tired. I think I'll take a nap instead. I was going to go on this trip, but things have changed. I've got other commitments. I'm not going to be able to go. So we took Jesus on our travels and our trips this summer. In doing so, we can still decide whether or not to take the next step. I had somebody tell me this just this past week, "Well, I took Flat Jesus on the vacation, but he never made it out of the suitcase." So we don't have any pictures. There's a difference between traveling with and following. Traveling with is a pretty casual way of being with somebody. Following sets another layer of expectation. That's the context of today's passage, and it's important to remember when we get to more of Jesus' teaching. Jesus came to invite us to follow him. And if we're going to follow him, he's telling us, get ready, buckle up, because it's not always going to be easy. We're not going to be in complete control anymore. Jesus will be. Our priorities, of course, will have to change, and Jesus makes that very clear in our text. It's a life-changing decision that Jesus calls us to make, and he knows it. He wants to make sure that those of us who make the commitment to follow him have considered the cost. Before building a tower, he says, make sure you have enough resources to complete it. And before following Jesus, make sure you're willing to do everything he asks. My father was big on commitment. Don't start something, he said, unless you plan on finishing it. And if we started something and wanted to quit, we couldn't. I mean, that was just the rule in the household. So much so, in fact, that even my daughters use a shorthand for it. Red's, that was my father's nickname, Red's Commitment Lecture 101. They knew it. They said, 101, you know what we're talking about. They knew what was expected of them. We all knew. Being Christian, Jesus reminds us today, isn't a hobby. It isn't something that we can do when we want to, when we feel like it. We're either all in, you Clemson people, we're either all in or we're not. And so for the crowds traveling with Jesus, it's time to make a decision. Do you want to travel with him? Or do you want to follow him? And that same question comes to us today, and actually it comes to us over and over and over again. We're here in worship today. We're here for a lot of different reasons. And if we're here because we're ready to follow him, then he's got to come first. It's what the text says. Nothing else can be more important to us than Jesus. It's interesting to note that one of the Greek words that the text uses here literally means renounce. Renounce your possessions, Jesus says. That doesn't mean that we need to bring everything we have and put it out on the front yard with a sign that says free to whoever wants it. What it means is we renounce its power over us. To live in such a way that our possessions no longer have any control over us. To live so that no thing, no person owns that place of allegiance that belongs to Jesus alone. It's a matter of priorities, Jesus is saying. If we want to follow him, we have to put him first. And life happens, doesn't it? We get so busy with the things that we're doing. We have to pay our bills. We have to put the kids through college. We have to plan for retirement. Or sometimes you just need a break and you want to have some fun. And sometimes when we do that, not always, but sometimes that moves Jesus out of his rightful place. But if any of those are our first priority, then it means we're simply traveling with Jesus and not really following. We can travel with Jesus without doing any of the things he asks of us. But we can't follow. We can't be a disciple unless we put him first. And it's a challenging message to us today. And if you're sitting here wondering, well, where is the good news in all of this? I believe that it's in the fact that this is not a command, but an invitation. An invitation to live in a different way. Jesus doesn't send us away from him with these challenges. He invites us in. And that means two very important things for us today. That Jesus will lead the way. Jesus, if he asks us to follow, Jesus will lead. And that he will always be with us. That's the last promise he made before his ascension. I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. Helping us when we need guidance and direction, forgiving us when we fall short, as we invariably will, of the goal that he has set for us. This table that's set before us today is the invitation. The invitation. And when we receive the sacrament, as we will in a few moments, it is a renewal of our commitment to follow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is no accident that the liturgy for the sacrament of Holy Communion begins with the words of invitation. And so we read the words either in our hymnal or on the screen. Hear the invitation as it comes to each of us today. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And now, as forgiven and reconciled people, let us offer ourselves and our gifts to God.